teacher in public school was giving a lesson on magnets to her second grade class. She went through all the properties of what magnets could do, the wonderful things magnets were capable of. At the end of the lesson, she had a question and answer session, and she asked the little boy this question. Now, you have to tell me who I am. My name starts with an M. I have six letters in my name, and I pick up things. What am I? And instantly, the boy answered, you're a mother. Okay, get it? Good. Hey, this is Mother's Day, in which we celebrate our mothers that God has given into our lives, and we are grateful for the different ways in which God has mothered us through these people here on earth. Mother's Day was originally created in 1908 by a daughter whose name was Anna Jarvis. It took place over in West Virginia. She got with her pastor at a Methodist church and said, I want a service honoring mothers. They put together a service. It was on May 10th, and it was the second Sunday of May. So popular did this become that 6 years later, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation saying that the second Sunday of May always will be designated as Mother's Day in honor of mothers here in the United States and mothers everywhere. The issue of mothers being honored actually predates Anna Jarvis of 1908. It goes back past what Hank read earlier about Paul acknowledging that Timothy was raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. It goes all the way back to the Ten Commands that we have, that God has given to us through Moses. The first four commands are our relationship with God. The next six are our relationship with humans, our vertical or horizontal relationship. The first of those next six involve parents. And commandment number five reads, honor thy mother and thy father. It's a huge relational shift. You know, we sometimes think all we have to do is worry about our relationship with God. In reality, this relationship with God also translates out into relationship with others. In that one command, God announced to the world that it's the family that's the bedrock of society. And we've seen, as you look across ages, that when a society falls apart, one of the first events of the society falling apart is the family falling apart. And so God in this command, number five, highlights the idea that in society, family is the bedrock. This fifth command also has a unique feature about it. It's the only command with a promise. It's the only command that has a reward attached to it. It goes, honor thy father and thy mother, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on this earth. Now, we know here in the 21st century that if there's family discord, you know, parents don't get along with kids, kids don't get along with parents, they don't get along with anyone, that causes stress in your heart. And the end result of stress that is not relieved, we all know in the 21st century what stress will do. It tears our body down. It wears us out. It eats us alive from the inside out. So interestingly enough, this command starts with an understanding that when we show an aspect of honoring, we're reducing some stress in our own lives. Anna Jarvis highlighted the fact that we're to honor our mothers, and that's good for us individually. It's good for society, but also more importantly, it's good for the fabric of the world. The word honor has at its core the idea of respect. The idea of us being able to share so that we don't have to fight with each other. The idea of honor is that we will treat each other as we want to be treated. An interesting concept about this is sometimes our families, we don't do this. There's a story told about a boss who fired one of his employees. And as the employee was leaving, the boss said, you know, you're just like a son. You're sassy, impertinent, rude, and inconsiderate. And that's the problem in our society today. That's become the norm, not the exception. And so God calls us, as we honor God and love God with all who we are, to honor and love all those we meet, beginning with our own individual families. When we do that, when And we start that here. We start that with a commitment on our part, meaning me, meaning you. We transform society. Not only is it good for us, not only is it established on a relationship with God on a deep level, but it reestablishes the core of society when we show respect called out of that fifth commandment given to us on Mother's Day. Now, I'd like to highlight this with a story. One of the really neat things when our twins were born, by the way, I can hardly believe this, they're 30. That's mind-boggling to me. But when they were born, someone gave us a book. The book's titled Love You Forever. And it talks about this concept of respect. It starts with respect from a mother to their children. And so I'd like to read the first two pages to you. A mother held her new baby, and she very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. And there's a really cool picture there. Okay. Second page goes like this. The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old. He ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. I'm going to pause here. I had a son who did that. As soon as he'd come to the office, when he was a little boy, he'd pull all the books off the shelf he could reach. I laugh now because he's a pastor. Back to the story. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. Someone after the first service said, you had one of those too, didn't you? No comment. Okay. But at the nighttime, when the two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up. She rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, it goes on to describe how the mother took care of the child as the child grew and all those different aspects that went on with that. So the love that God has given to mothers passed on to children. And an interesting concept then is that it needs to be passed back the other way as a sign of gratitude, as a sign of saying thank you. Now, the children's sermon I shared earlier reminds me of a story. The idea of what can we give greatest for our mothers who are currently here? Those people who are still in the household for their mom or those who come to visit. And the story goes like this. A little boy and a little girl were having a conversation, wondering what they should get their mothers for Mother's Day. The little girl said to the boy, well, you could promise to keep your room clean and orderly. You could go to bed as soon as she calls. You could brush your teeth after eating. You could quit fighting with your brothers and sisters, especially at the dinner table. The boy held up his hands and said, no. I mean, what can I give her that's practical? So one of the ways in which you can touch your parents is that kind of service giving. Giving in the ways in which they need, in the ways in which they want. We oftentimes think, let's give them flowers. Let's give them something that's really valuable. A hug. A kind word. Doing what we know to keep the family in order. Those of us who have ailing parents, our parents, both my wife and I, both of our parents are deceased at this point. But aging parents, how important it is to spend time with them, helping them with daily activities, listening as they relay their pains in that story for the 100th time in one day or 1 hour. It's important to be able to show that kind of respect. Continue to pray for them. You know, someone once told me, growing old is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And you know what? It's so true. It is for the bravest of all people. And we need our children to be able to help us get through that. So the end of the story goes full circle. It goes all the way to the point of what happens when there's an ailing parent. And it goes like this. The mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, "You better come see me because I'm very old and sick." So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish because she was too old and too sick. The son picked up his mother and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song back to her. "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be." When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." And there the story ends. The story ends there because it's our responsibility from here on. The legacy of love that's been passed to us, we now need to pass on. The legacy of love that's been given to us, we need to share. The legacy of love is realizing that we say we love God, we love other human beings as well, starting with that most core of relationships, the relationship of our family. Even if they are strange and weird. Even if they are imperfect and difficult, because guess what? You are strange and weird too, and you are difficult as well. I say that with all love, of course, as your pastor. When I say reality, it's easy to point fingers. It's a lot harder to love. We're not called to point fingers. We're called to love. And in loving, we demonstrate the core principle of who God is, a core principle given down through the family, given out to society, the core principle of love. When we love, we demonstrate that we're godly in nature, especially when we start with the basic core of the relationship given to us, the family. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for our mothers, and whether they're by choice, whether by birth, or whether they're spiritual mothers, we're grateful. We're grateful for how you've touched our lives through them. May we then touch them back with fond words, with activities of respect, with gifts of kindness. We thank you, Lord God, that you've also asked us to share this to those around us. We're not to hold love. We're meant to give it out. And we do so all in your Son's name. Amen.